Welcome back to Bamboo and Glass, where we showcase the abundant possibilities of who you can choose to be. I'm Tan.
And I'm Sophia. Thank you so much for being here. Every Sunday, we release a new episode and show you the power of one more perspective. So today, we invited one of our favorite creators, Sharon. Hello, I'm Sharon on TikTok, to take a peek into her content creation adventures. And that goes really well hand in hand with her self-love and confidence journey.
Definitely. And I think there's this interesting translation of like TikTok virality and like how that translates to the mindfulness and the human connection aspect of things are just so hyperbolic online because people can hide behind screens and they can say whatever they want and they can have such easy access to information that it does feel pretty removed until you are facing those people face to face. And that's a really, really great lesson to keep in mind. You mentioned this phrase, punching up, which I've never heard before, and I'd love for you to kind of expand on that alongside. Like, let's say someone is interested in, like, exploring TikTok as a form of, like, self-love and confidence to cultivate that for themselves. What do you think people should know about, like, social media and creating content and things to be mindful about, too?
There's a couple of things. I think, like, first of all, like punching up means like think about where you lie in the power status of things or like in the hierarchy of social status. Like I'm a woman and technically women are below men. So if I'm punching up, I'm making a joke or critiquing something that a man does because that's how I punch up, like, you know, making a joke or critiquing. And also it's like the same thing of like, if I, as a person, in like middle class, make a joke about lower class and individuals, that's punching downwards, and that's so disrespectful, you know, because it's like kind of like think about where I am in this like what's it called, like hierarchy and the power, you know, dynamics. So I think it's just like that when you're making jokes or making jabs or critiquing something, punch upwards, because it's just more respectful that way, and that's like what I feel like comedy is for, you know. And for anyone making content, I would say make sure you have a good support system, because I think there are times when you can get in on your head about a lot of things, or you can either get very like cocky about things just because, like, let's say I get so many followers or so much like attention or so much whatever from something online, and there are people who've gotten kind of like, I'm so high and mighty, or I'm the shit, you know, and they don't have people to ground them. But also on the other spectrum of that, have people who like support you when you reach those like goals and like reach those like accomplishments or keep you motivated, because that's really important too. Because if I didn't have that, honestly, I don't think I would be like where I am right now. And another thing is, don't chase virality, because I think at the end of the day, that's not going to build a community. And people who are just chasing the immediate gratification, you're going to get burnt out and you're going to lose sight of like why you're doing this in the first place. I think that really, really fucks up with your like mental like state, because I know so many people who got so much attention online, and it was just like a tsunami effect of like, everything just changed for them, you know, like they were making so much money, they got to quit their jobs, they got to like just so much change. And I think mentally they just got wrecked because they just weren't ready for that. But there are some people where like you are ready, and sometimes you're not ready, or like sometimes like I don't know. But your mental state is so important, like whenever you just do this stuff, because I also feel like you can really, really like just be taken away from it and just not be in a good place mentally. If you don't have like the support system or like that mindset, because I don't know, I know so many people who just like went off the radar because they just couldn't handle it. And they just needed like a break. But that, and also I think this is like words of advice for myself too, but it's like, if something doesn't come your way like quickly, it's okay. Like, you know, like it's going to happen when it's supposed to happen. And you are training for that big moment when it's going to happen.
I love that.
Yeah.
And like you're putting in the work so that when luck comes, you're ready for it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like that too. And another thing is numbers don't equal like impact or value. I think a lot of I used to work on the other side of like marketing and like contracting talent and stuff, but we would look at all these analytics to like be like, oh, this person is great because they have like a million followers or like this many likes or this many like whatever KPIs. But that doesn't translate to like meaningful content, you know? Mm-hmm. It can, but it doesn't always equal it.
Now, what are some tools that help ground you in your self-confidence and self-love, since you mentioned that your mental health is so important alongside content creation?
I owe a lot to like my parents. I don't know. My Korean parents weren't really flashy growing up back then. And we grew up we were struggling back then. Like I remember like when we lived in like Humboldt, Tennessee, we lived near like trailer parks. And like, I think like, I don't know. It was like, you know, Ozark, the like series on Netflix. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, that kind of reminds me of like where I grew up and stuff too. Mm-hmm. It's very like redneck hick. Mm-hmm. We lived next door to like KKK members, if that gives you an idea. Mm-hmm. But I think like just growing up there and then like kind of slowly moving up to like becoming more like growing out of that, you see how people treat you differently based on your socioeconomic status. And I think that was very humbling for me. And just seeing how my parents were affected by it, and the fact that my parents weren't flashy, and the fact that my parents like can really ground me, I think that's something that puts me in a good mental state. Because we have family friends who are like a K-pop star or they're in entertainment. I think they're just like, my dad's like, I don't want you to like end up like this person because they act like a child and like they're like in their 30s, but like the fact that they have to act like this, like that's not sustainable.
It's embarrassing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like, I just really grew up in a really unique state where I'm very grounded because of my upbringing, and I'm always forced to be grateful, you know, because like from where I started and stuff too, like it's so different.
Yeah. And also just grounded in diverse perspectives, whether it's from your friends that you've still kept in touch with even as you've made this career change, or your family and the people who are back in your hometown. So that's really great advice for, you know, anyone who is kind of scared to start off their content creation journey but really want to like build their confidence through it. So I guess like after a couple years of content creation, I mean, as like kind of like where you're at now, where do you feel like TikTok and content creation has built up your confidence? Like in what particular areas has your confidence really benefited from this journey that you've been on since quarantine?
I'm just like, damn, I really have good taste, you know, because I'm just kind of like the fact that people like my recommendations. Yeah. I was just like, oh, I just like what I like because I'm particular. I didn't really think much of it. But the fact that like,
and before you thought it was like you were high maintenance and spoiled too, but it's actually now you're able to say it's good taste that you have.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, they say you can't teach taste. So I'm just saying.
There's this really great quote from Ira Glass. It's too long, so I'll just kind of paraphrase it, but it's like about how when you start off like creating, people who have good taste know that their stuff is bad, but you have to like push through that so that it can get to that level of taste, and everyone has that sense of taste in them, and you actually shouldn't be discouraged because of how bad you are. You should actually be encouraged and motivated because that means you have a standard. Exactly.
No, I love that quote so much. Yeah, he's amazing. But I think that it was just like, oh, I didn't know my like Rex would hit that well, you know, or like, and I think the other thing was like, people thought I was like funny, you know, and I was like, oh, I didn't know I was funny. You know, I'm just like, I just word things in a very like particular way. And I just have like a unique way of like phrasing things. And I was like, oh, like that's cool, you know, because like those friends who just didn't give me any like, they weren't hyping me up and stuff. Yeah, like I think they wouldn't. They purposely wouldn't laugh at my jokes to like humble me, you know. It's because they also wanted to be in entertainment too, but I think they're too scared to like take the plunge, which is fine.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, it's scary.
What Sophia was saying about, like, insecurities and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, I just hope, if y'all are listening, I just hope they, I just hope they know that, like, I am so, like, supportive of, like, them taking the plunge and doing it. Because I think, like, actions speak louder than words. You can say you want to, like, write a film. You can say you want to, like, do this. But you have to actually put in the work and fail and figure out what works for you to get there. Like, saying that you want to do something, it's not going to get you there.
Yeah. And I think also there's this interesting perception of content creators, like, you know, once you've made it as a content creator, like, you're going to be...
What does that mean?
You're going to be... Yeah. You just uploaded a video on TikTok. That's literally something that every single person in this world can do. But it's like there's this perception that, like, all of a sudden you're exclusive, or, like, you're so much higher up than them, or you love the fame. But I feel like actually most content creators I know really appreciate the anonymity that they can have in different spaces. Like, how cool is it that celebrities in LA can take, like, a workout class and not be recognized and, like, you know, not have that not be a big deal? And I'm sure that's something that feels, it must feel nice to have that normality. And I think for us, it's actually that this is a normal thing in our lives now. It's not like the biggest star or like the peak of our careers, and other people shouldn't view it like that or think that we are trying to prevent them from going after their dreams.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And I think, like, I don't know, it's just weird, you know, because it's like, yeah, it's cool, but also it's not. Like, everyone's just a person at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Yeah,
like, it's hard work, too. Like you were saying, it's really not as glamorous as, like, the red carpets that you see all the time. There's a lot of work that goes into it. And you have to have a particular passion for whatever sector of that work is.
I agree. Yeah. And I think part of me, like, this is going to sound really fucked up, but I think part of me also just, I respect people who actually have, like, a brain, or like, how do I say this? I feel like a lot of my friends are, like, they're either writers, models, or, like, directors, or, you know, like, people behind the scenes, because they enjoy, like, the process of putting something together that's creative and then putting it out to the world, you know? And I enjoy that creative process a lot, you know? But there are also, like, influencers who just, like, no offense, but, like, yeah, I don't know. It's
not
just
much,
like,
intention or craft.
Yeah, or it's just maybe just not. They do their own thing, and I'm like, cool. But would I listen to you? Probably not. You know, like your tips and I don't know stuff. But maybe I'm being mean, or maybe I'm just being picky. But
no, you have taste. You have taste.
You have taste. Yes.
Yes.
I think an aspect of life where it's really hard to build self-love and confidence is dating. And so since we've talked about, like, relationship with parents, with friends, and you talk about, like, boys and dating on your TikTok, how has this entire journey impacted your dating experiences?
Oh my gosh. I feel like I love being single. Okay. I'll just say that. But, dating sucks because, okay, first of all, I've grown so much because of dating, if that makes sense, because I feel like for me, I get to understand myself more. I get to see what my values are. I get to see, like, what my non-negotiables are and, like, my strengths and weaknesses as a person in a relationship, because that differs with, like, your relationship with friends or parents, coworkers, etc. I don't know. I think I've been off, like, the dating apps for, like, over 3 years, something like that. Yeah. I just date by meeting people in real life or just, like, friends of friends, but you see, I'm single. So obviously it hasn't, like, worked to, like, the best, but I think I attract, okay. Well, first of all, I feel like I know I'm not going to meet my, like love of my life, like, at a bar. If you have, that's great. But for me, I'm not. I just know I'm not. So whenever I go out, I think there's, like, guys who try to, like, hit on me because they're just like, I've watched your TikToks or, like, whatever. And I'm like, you really think that's going to get me, like, to, like you? Like,
I have 10K boys after me. I have 100K boys after me. Say something more unique.
And I'm like, you're a fucking fan. Like, that's fucking corny. You know? And then I've had guys who, like, go on dates and then they find out that I make content and they stalk everything. And then they say things that they think TikTok Sharon would like to hear on the date or like to like be into on the date. And I'm just like, I know they like looked online all my stuff and they're trying to like appeal to like, hello, I'm Sharon instead of like Sharon Lee. So it's just weird. I mean, I don't know. I wish like, and that's where my friends are like, maybe you should date someone in the industry. And I was like, I mean, maybe. And she's like, go ahead, Ryan. And I was like, no, Shauna. But I think she just wants me to go on just so I can like tell her what's like on there because she's in a relationship right now. And I was like,
She wants to live vicariously through you.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm not taking one. Funnily,
I feel like I lived vicariously through Sophia for a little bit because she was on dating apps. And then she'd be like, she also, Sophia has like great social media discovery abilities. Like she can really quickly
find anyone.
Like literally,
I like that too.
There was this boy who from like high school who like really hurt me. And then Sophia's like, let's find out what med school he goes to. Let's find out what residency he's going to. And I was like, what? How do you find out all this information from someone that I knew back in 2009? I don't know. But I used to live by Christy through Sophia. And then sometimes I'd see like, people from my school, like high school or college on there and like can give her like
so trippy
scoop. It is really trippy. Yeah. Oh but gosh. I got to do that by seeing her experiment with all of the apps. But Sophia, I feel like you also had a lot of confidence like going on dates, like being on online dating apps. And I feel like part of it had to do with the fact that like you also weren't necessarily like banking, you know, finding the love of your life like on an online dating app.
I mean, here's what it is. I love hanging out with myself. My parents, my siblings have always treated me extremely well, just like you, Sharon. Like my parents freaking set the standard. My girlfriends are amazing. I don't really think like if I'm gonna commit my life to someone, he better be like my best friends times 10, right? And so I just know it's gonna take a while to find that, and so I'm not like sad when something doesn't work out from dating app.
Yeah, I get that.
There are other areas of life where I don't have much confidence, but when it comes to dating, it's like I love hanging out with myself. I can entertain myself. I'm pretty introverted, and so I mean, if I'm going to be with someone, it has to beat the experience of me hanging out with myself.
I agree.
Yeah.
But wait, are you in a relationship or you mentioned?
Sophia is also in a relationship, has been.
Oh my gosh. Amazing.
I've been dating my partner for 7.5 years, so it's been a long time.
How'd y'all meet your prospective people?
Oh my god. Sophia's is juicy, so I'll let her go after me. But for me, I met my partner in college. It was a very college story, you know, a couple of drunk or run-ins at parties and stuff. And it's which is funny because we're the most biggest home buddies ever. I think being in the relationship, actually going into the relationship, I felt like I was pretty confident. I can't say that about most other like past experiences with guys actually, but with this one, I don't know what it was at the time, but I was really confident in like who I was and my self-worth. And so going into it, I actually really didn't think it would like end up being a long-term thing, which I think actually helped me out a lot, because then it wasn't like I was evaluating my whole life journey or my self-worth on the relationship and the longevity of it. And so for it to have like naturally lasted like this long is really a really cool experience. And also I think being able to be in this relationship has helped grow my confidence and just like, you know, forgiving myself with like mistakes that I make in different relationships and also human connection in general. Because I see him fuck up and he sees me fuck up, and like we still like work through it together. So
that makes your relationship grow even stronger.
Yes, it does. It does. Yeah. And it's also fun because it's like we constantly are growing and changing, and there's always like I can never confidently say that I 100% know anyone, not even my boyfriend, not even myself. And so for me, so I think that's also kind of a fun adventure and challenge to go on. And it's not like, oh my god, things are going to change so much that like we're doomed and like we're not going to last. It's actually like more out of a place of curiosity than fear.
That's beautiful.
That's oh my God. Such a healing relationship.
Okay, Sophia. That's hot. Sophia, how did you meet your partner?
Oh my gosh. Is it cringe? It's not. Maybe.
No. You have good taste and high standards.
Yes. That's the takeaway. Mm-hmm. I met him. We met on Subtle Asian Dating back when it was like the thing.
That took me back. Oh my gosh. Wait, does that still exist?
Yeah, but this was back in 2018.
They were the first success story on SAD.
Wait.
Yeah, she's
like, oh, no, I'm not. I'm gonna hear it first. Let me hear it first. And then,
yeah.
Okay. Yes.
I was in Seattle. He was in Chicago, and I thought he had a really his profile was written by a friend who's a journalist. Very well written. Just like poignant, sweet. You know, the pictures were awful. The pictures were like he was like asleep in a car, drooling. Or like passed out, you know, just like I thought
she
it was so
photo.
Funny.
She liked that photo.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was hilarious that he was like so weird.
It's unconventional and compared to unconventional. Other people who, you know, post only photo shoot type of photos. Or
right. It wasn't like
that's low-key kind of cringe. Yeah.
It wasn't like the 666 will buy you boba. Like, you know.
Not the boba.
Yeah. And so we just started talking, and then 3 weeks later,
well, okay, no, you're Seattle. she's not selling it right. She's asked him a question. She like slid into his DMs and asked him a question, and then he
that is the level
back,
of detail we're gonna go.
Yes, and then he responds back with an essay long answer. And so what do? Just pass each other back essays back and forth for several nights.
Yes. And then I met him in person for the first time because he flew to Seattle for a med school interview. And I was like, I like this person. I should play the long game, you know, like instead of us hanging out and chilling before his interview, I want him to be in Seattle. So we're going to do interview prep together.
So
I
first
Ubered over
was
to
in
the library. And I grilled him for like 5 hours, and it was great. Highly recommend this as a first date. Because I just got to know him so well. Why do you want to be a doctor? What was your most formative childhood? You know, all these questions that I had to just push him to answer. And I learned a lot about him. And I was like, still like this guy.
Do you think he was more nervous for your to answer the questions to you or to his actual interviewer?
Did he get into that? Was this like a specific school or was this like the overall? Okay, did he get into that specific school?
He did. And he's graduating this May.
Mm-hmm. That's probably because you prepped him. And he was like double nervous for that.
Oh extra prep, yeah. And mm-hmm. So we recorded that 5 hour long session, and he played it back as like review the night before his interview and crushed it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how.
So now he has positive associations with getting into med school and also,
yeah,
on his first date.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. That's such a tiger mom like move too.
I
mean, like, yeah.
I mean, I liked him. I was like, I want this guy to be in Seattle because I don't want to have to move to like bumfuck who knows where. So
that's beautiful. Wow, I'm impressed with both of y'all's stories.
Yeah, this is
amazing.
Both non-dating app. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's the way to go, honestly. Because think about it, dating apps are designed for you to like fail on those apps so that you are back on the app.
Retention.
To go on another date. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like it's like all user interface anyways. So it's literally a scam. Everything's a scam.
Capitalism.
I know. Dating apps. I hate dating apps. I tell people, mm-hmm. like, you rely on you don't use your fucking balls to like ask a girl on a date, and you rely on the dating app. You know what I mean? It's just like... What, are you going to risk anything for the business?
And I guess
I guess
it's an interesting contrast to like posting on social media, because on both a dating app and whatever social media app you use, you get to present or perform as your best self or whatever self that you want to show. And with dating apps, it's like you will inevitably like have to get to know the person deeper beyond the app. But for TikTok, it actually is really much a safe playground for you to play around with different personas or different ways of being on there without it being attached to like how people perceive you in real life. Of course, there's influences that we've talked about earlier about how people will shift their perspectives of you, but it can still be separate and there can be a boundary between the two.
I hope so. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's like the most ideal thing, but I don't know. Guys are weird. I feel like, yeah, I had a mixer event where I was like, come to like get to know people, you know? And then this guy comes up to me. He was like, oh, I thought this mixer was like for you. And I was like, what? Like, he was like, I thought it was like for you to find guys. And I was like, you came here because you thought I needed an event to find a guy. I'm so offended right now. And then he was like, I don't know if this is forward or not, but here's my like, what's it called? Here's my like phone number. And then he like texted me some availability. And I was just like, oh my God. Confused. No. Cause I think the creepier part was, okay, it's not creepy. Like if you're listening, I'm sorry. But, I think it's just the fact that like he knew me from like when I used to attend church and then he, like, I was like on a Powderpuff team. I did not know who he was. And then I was like looking through the photos and I was like, oh my God, like this guy had existed, but I never knew he existed. And then he had been like stalking, like he had been watching my TikTok stuff. And then he like was bold enough to like come to me and like ask me out. And I was just like, why would you think I would be so drawn to you after you told me that you've like been watching me or like you have known who I am and I don't know who you are, you know? Like, I was just like, I'm scared, you know?
Yeah, I'm curious. Strange. How does that affect, I guess, maybe like your confidence with dating, like knowing that there can be a lot of people who know so much more about you than you know about them, and that it's kind of be like a parasocial relationship that you run into even with dates.
I think like it's okay if they watch my content and they're a fan, but don't let that be like the only thing that identity. You know about me. Because I think if you give me room to like also know me in another layer or like another way, then okay, cool. But like it's no offense, it's like the normies who like I'm just kidding, but like it's like those guys who like just they just don't know how to, they don't have like the etiquette to go about things, I guess, or they just get very, no offense, I'm not a star, you know what I mean? And I'm just like, if you get starstruck by me, like, you know, with my famous friends, how are you going to react with them? You know, like, are you going to, like, post an Instagram story and be like, I hung out with, I don't know, for example, Nicole Kidman or, you know, like, yeah. Jimmy O Yang or, you know, something like that. Like, that's so corny and I don't want to be associated with a guy like that. So if I know that they're like that and they're going to fangirl over me, then that's kind of like a good test of like, oh, like, no, you know?
Yeah. There's like kind of like two categories of people, I guess, who you interact with who maybe aren't very savvy with social media. It's either they're the kind of person who like really doesn't care about social media, and so in a way it's kind of refreshing, and because they'll get to know you outside of the social media, or they're the kind of person who is doesn't even know what to do with themselves knowing that like you have all these numbers, you have this particular popularity around you, and they begin to kind of see like ulterior ways of viewing you as well.
Yeah, that was like that guy that I dated who was like he was a model and therapist, and he would like, we weren't together, okay, we were not exclusive, but we were dating and like, you know, sleeping around basically. But he would tell people who are also influencers like, yeah, I'm like seeing like Sharon, like, you know, she makes this content, and I was just like, I'm not your girlfriend. Like, shut up. You know, like,
it's like claiming you in a weird way. It's so
weird. I know.
Like, and I'm trying to attach themselves to you.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, no offense, I'm not that like big. Like, imagine how it's going to be in like a year from now, you know? Like, I don't know.
It's going to be a problem. Like,
yeah. I'm just kind of like, it's weird because I'm just like, that's why I don't go outside a lot, if I'm being honest. I just keep to like my
I mean, content friends. Creation is the perfect thing to do inside all the time. So I don't blame you.
Yeah. And I have to like watch shows. Like, I have to catch up on The Glory, and like, I have to watch like so much. So it takes a really particular person for me to break down my walls and be okay with like getting to know. But
I don't, and you can have the walls but still be very confident in who you are, and you know, be very sure of how you want to show up in different spaces.
Exactly. And that's why I think I need to go, if I were to date someone who's like in the industry but not like talent, you know, because like they work with like talent and they know what it's like, but they're not like yearning for that attention. I don't know.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, you've talked a lot about Koreatown and your journey with TikTok, and I think that you have some exciting news that you would like to share with our podcast. Would you care to share with us?
Yeah. I am a Spotify creator.
Hey.
Yeah. And I've been running around K-Town filming interviews with Koreatown businesses, and I have the pleasure of saying that I'm releasing my podcast, Hello K-Town, or Hello Koreatown, very soon. I'm editing everything. So like, yes. So it's going to launch soon, and I'm very excited. I'm finally like, yeah, I'm fine doing what y'all are doing, you know? And I applaud y'all for doing this for, you said, 5 years?
Mm-hmm. That's weekly crazy. Episodes. This is like episode 226 or
something. Wow. Yeah. That's insane. And I don't know how y'all are doing this and stuff too, but I feel like y'all have already figured out, like, I don't know, in the intro stuff, I was like, damn, they have that down. Like, I was like, impressed, you know?
I would hope that we have it down, you know, after quite a few years of doing it.
No, but yeah, very impressive and stuff too. And the fact that y'all are actively listening and you come up with like good segues into the next question. I notice y'all.
Aww, you know? Thank you.
But I think, yeah, what y'all are doing is spectacular. And I just am very glad to be in this podcasting circle as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, whenever your show launches, we'll be sure to link it in our episode description.
Hype you up everywhere we can.
Yeah. Yay. And everyone should go follow Sharon on TikTok. Hello, I'm Sharon is her handle. We'll also link that in the episode description. And thank you so much, Sharon, for sharing with us your journey through TikTok and how that's really impacted your relationships, friendships, dating, family, etc., and how that also all plays into confidence, self-love, and being sure of yourself, and becoming more confident in the fact that you have really great taste and high standards for things. And I hope that everyone was able to be inspired by what you just shared. And so, listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. If you found any part of this episode intriguing, interesting, please think of a friend who would also be interested in hearing Sharon's story, and let them know that we're available on every podcast platform. Like we mentioned earlier, Sophia's been posting a lot on TikTok, and I've also been handling the Substack, so also be sure to check those platforms out. We'll leave those in the episode description. And if you have any questions or feedback or want to discuss any part of this episode, we're excited to hear from you. So DM us on Instagram at Bamboo in Class. And with that, I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Yay!